Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at a really interesting article that I found.
Oh, cool.
In Discover Jesus.
Right.
And it really takes kind of a fascinating look at the nature of Jesus.
Okay.
You know, we often talk about him as fully human and fully divine.
Right.
But what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
And this article kind of digs down into that.
That's awesome. I mean, I think that it's something that a lot of us just kind of take for granted.
Right.
But when you actually start thinking about it, it's like, wait, hold on a second.
Yeah. How does that even work?
Yeah.
And this article, instead of starting with the divine side, actually starts with his humanity.
Okay.
And it points out that, like, he wasn't born into some crazy circumstances.
Right.
He was just a normal guy.
Right.
You know, he was a carpenter.
Yeah.
He was a boat builder.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, he even was a scribe.
Wow.
So, like, really normal, everyday kind of professions.
Yeah. It really kind of humanizes him. You know, you can almost imagine him, like, working with his hands, you know, getting splinters.
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always say, oh, yeah, he experienced human emotions. But this article really points out that he lived a human life.
Yeah.
So all of those little frustrations and everything that comes along with that, that was part of his experience.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that that's something that's easy to forget.
Sure.
When we kind of put him up on a pedestal, we forget that he also experienced,
cool.
You know, just the day-to-day grind.
Yeah, if he got a splinter, I bet he swore.
Probably, yeah.
You know, like, it was just all part of that human experience.
Yeah.
But along with that human experience, there was also this incredible spiritual growth that was happening.
All right.
And this is where it starts to get really interesting, because the article talks about this idea of Jesus having a connection with what it calls the indwelling spirit presence of God.
Okay.
And I know that sounds kind of, you know, out there.
Yeah.
But they actually break it down in a way that kind of helps you understand it. And it's this idea that within him, there was this connection to God's wisdom and power.
Oh.
But what's fascinating is it wasn't something he was just born with.
Right.
It actually developed over time.
So it was like a gradual awakening.
Yeah. And they say it kind of reached this peak around like age 29.
Wow.
So he's growing.
Yeah.
He's learning. He's deepening his connection with this divine aspect within him.
That's fascinating. I mean, it kind of makes you think about, like, well, if he had this divine awareness, you know, why didn't he use it all the time?
Right.
Like, why did he choose to sometimes conceal that knowledge?
Yeah. It's almost like he was choosing to engage with people on a human level.
Yeah.
Experiencing life with all of its limitations and challenges, you know.
And that's where we get to the whole two minds thing, right?
Yeah. And that is just, I mean, talk about mind-blowing, right?
Yeah.
This idea that he had his human mind.
Right.
But also this divine consciousness operating simultaneously.
Right. Two minds in one being.
It's crazy.
It really is. Like, how do you even wrap your mind around that concept?
It's crazy. But the article, it suggests that, like, this wasn't just some, you know, accident or whatever.
Yeah.
This duality was actually, like, intentional.
Wow.
That it was, like, part of his purpose.
Right.
That by having these two minds, he could actually experience the full spectrum of, like, human existence, connect with people in a way that he couldn't if he was just divine.
Right.
And that ultimately this was, like, part of fulfilling his purpose.
Okay.
So it's all kind of tying together. But here's the thing that I was thinking. If he's choosing to sometimes conceal his divine knowledge, wouldn't that make it harder for people to believe in his divinity? Like, wouldn't they need proof?
Yeah. And that's something the article actually brings up. It talks about how, you know, there were two of his followers, Nathaniel and Thomas.
Okay.
And they actually, along with this scholar, Rodin, they compiled this list of evidence.
Okay.
Like, they recognized that, hey, we need to document these things that point to Jesus's divine nature.
So what kind of things did they include on this list? Like, what convinced them?
Well, first and foremost were Jesus's own statements. Like, he talked about his relationship with God.
Right.
And it was clear, like, this was unlike any relationship anyone had ever seen.
Okay.
But beyond that, they also pointed to his, like, character and his conduct. The way he lived his life, the article points out, like, his unselfishness, even towards, like, those who had wronged him, was just, like, on another level.
Yeah, it's one thing to, like, you know, be kind to your friends and family.
Right.
But when you're showing that kind of grace and compassion to your enemies, that's a whole other level.
Exactly, exactly. And then, of course, there were the things that he could do that just seemed to defy, like, human capability.
Right.
Things like, you know, forgiving sins. That was a power and authority that, like, no one else had.
Right.
And that really, like, pointed to something beyond just human.
And then, of course, you've got the healings.
The healings, yeah.
Yeah.
Restoring sight to the blind and curing diseases. Like, those must have been pretty convincing.
Yeah, those were definitely like, whoa, okay, something's going on here.
Yeah.
But here's where the article kind of, it makes an interesting distinction. It clarifies that some of the stories that we attribute to Jesus, like walking on water, those were actually like dreams or visions that his followers had.
Oh, okay.
Like that one with Peter, you know, that was actually Peter's dream.
Okay, so the article is saying that some of these like more, I guess, fantastical elements of the Jesus story might actually be like metaphorical or symbolic.
Exactly. And it's not to say that they're not important.
Right.
But it's saying like in focusing on the spectacular, sometimes we lose sight of the really profound human aspects of his life and teachings.
Right.
And so it calls for this like rescuing of the human Jesus, they call it.
I love that. Rescuing the human Jesus from these like theological abstractions, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. And getting back to the core of who he was, a man who lived this life of radical faith and love.
Right. And that it wasn't about like religion. It was about his faith.
Yes. Yes. His personal faith. And the article stresses that, you know, this is not something that's meant to be just like admired from afar. This is a model for how we can live our lives and how we can connect with the divine in our own lives.
So it's not about trying to like replicate the miracles or become some kind of superhuman. It's about like embodying the spirit of what he was teaching in our own way.
Yeah.
But then, like, what does that actually look like in practice? How do we bridge that gap between, you know, this extraordinary life and our everyday experiences?
That's a great question. And that's where the real challenge lies. And that's actually what we're going to explore in the final part of our deep dive today.
This whole idea of rescuing the human Jesus, it's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's seeing him not as this, like, you know, distant divine figure, but as somebody who, like, walked the same earth we do and faced similar struggles. And yet, you know, found a way to live a life of purpose and meaning.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so challenging and inspiring about it, right? Because it's not just about believing in him. It's about like, what does it actually mean to follow his example?
So it's less about like, you know, the theological debates and more about like actually living his message.
Yeah.
Right? The love, the compassion, the service, like putting it into action in our own lives.
Exactly. It's not about, you know, just going through the motions, the rituals. The article reminds us, you know, he lived a life of faith. He didn't start a religion.
Right. And he was constantly challenging the status quo, like reaching out to the marginalized, you know, urging people to like look inward.
Yeah. He was all about personal transformation.
Yeah.
Not just like blind adherence to rules. And that's something I think we can all relate to, right?
Totally. And it's a message that's like so relevant today. I mean, you look at the world and it's, you know, so much division, so much self-interest. And then you look at Jesus. And it's like a completely different way of being.
Yeah, it's a call to radical empathy.
Yeah, like extending grace to people who don't deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, seeing that divine spark in every human being.
And that's not easy. You know, it challenges us to look at our own biases, our prejudices. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have that tendency towards self-preservation.
It's about like stepping outside of our comfort zones, you know, engaging with the world in a way that actually reflects, you know, the love and compassion that he embodied.
And that takes courage.
It does.
It takes vulnerability.
Yeah. And it takes a willingness to challenge our own assumptions, like everything that we think we know.
Absolutely.
Man, this has been an incredible deep dive. It's really given me a lot to think about in terms of like, you know, my own faith, my own life. You know, if Jesus chose to embrace the full human experience with all its complexities and challenges, like what does that mean for us?
Mm-hmm.
You know? What does it mean for how we navigate our own journeys?
That's the big question, isn't it? And I don't know that there's a single answer. But maybe that's the point. Maybe it's a journey of exploration.
It is. It's about seeking and questioning and striving to live in a way that aligns with what we believe.
Absolutely. And on that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up this deep dive. But we hope that you'll continue the conversation, keep reflecting on what we've talked about today, and see what resonates with you and how you can bring a little bit of that, you know, that love and compassion into your own life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll see you next time.